Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Brendan behind the glass. It is a Thursday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I feel like this week is flying by. I can't believe it's already Thursday. Isn't it? Like, am I crazy there? Like, I feel like this week is going by very, very fast.
I agree with you. It is going by fairly rapidly. And then with next week being a shorter week with the holiday, it's a good couple of weeks.
It's because I'm here every day.
That has nothing to do with, will you be here tomorrow?
There might be something to do with that.
Will you be here tomorrow?
There's only half a show tomorrow.
Will you be here tomorrow?
I'm taking a half day off
tomorrow. Aha!
Yeah.
Aha! The short timer is at it again.
To Brendan's point, we're not really going to be here a whole lot tomorrow either. Like, there's a good chance we're going to miss. Well, we know we're going to miss some part of the show, depending on what Texas A&M does basketball wise, which they're ranked, by the way. The Aggies, a basketball school.
About time, Buzz.
Yeah, he's doing a good job there. He's getting them. He's getting them turned around.
He hasn't done it as quickly as people thought.
Probably
but
not.
Yeah, but he's starting to.
I think the Aggies were a little bit restless there, but hey, maybe they're going. They're going.
Like it's not just basketball.
What do you mean by that?
Jimbo.
Oh, like the Aggies are a little frustrated?
Yeah.
I could understand why they're frustrated with Jimbo. I wanted to take a little bit of a victory lap here. Will you guys allow me to take a bit of a victory lap? Look, it's Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for you.
You don't allow me to do this. What are we victory lapping?
I would always allow you to do this. What are you talking about? I'd be happy to allow you to do this.
I don't think so.
Look, we're a week away from Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for you guys. And I'd really be thankful if you guys would allow me to take a little bit of a victory lap. About Justin Verlander and the thought I had about Justin Verlander, 2 months ago, over 2 months ago, two and a half
like I've given
months
you
ago.
Credit for that at no short of a half a dozen times. But if you feel like you need a lap as part of it, then
I don't really care about the lap. But what's the reason is because we're having this conversation now, right? Like Justin Verlander is a free agent. Justin Verlander, Jim Crane's talking about dollar figures when it comes to Justin Verlander, and he got in trouble about talking about dollar figures when it came to Justin Verlander. You've been saying that he wanted a Max Scherzer deal. Looks like Justin Verlander wants a Max Scherzer deal, right? Mm-hmm. So we had this conversation 2.5 months ago. Whenever the Astros get to this point, what is in the best interest of the Houston Astros going forward, 2023 and beyond? Because we knew that Justin Verlander, when we talked about this 2.5 months ago, was going to be the Cy Young. We knew that Justin Verlander 2.5 months ago was going to be a free agent. We knew 2.5 months ago what about the free agent offer contracts, et cetera, would be for Justin Verlander. So I went back and listen to our podcast, and I would suggest that you're always listening to our podcast at ESPN 97.5, but I went back and listened to it on September 6th, the first hour of the show. And it was the day after Hunter Brown made his debut. And it wasn't like, oh, Hunter Brown's going to replace Justin Verlander. It was just about the surplus that the Houston Astros have from a starting pitching perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they currently have 6 starters that are all good under club control before we even talk about Justin Verlander. So I would like to take a victory lap if you guys would allow me to do this. Would you please allow me to do this, Blinkers? Would you please allow me to do this, Brendan?
Please.
All right.
Continue on.
This was the first segment on September 6th. We actually talked about Hunter Brown, how they're going to use him, the weapon, because it was the day after his debut. But after that, we spent the next 45 minutes talking about how it's in the best interest, I thought, to let Justin Verlander walk at the end of the year. Here is the opening of that second segment on September 6th. Justin Verlander is going to be looking for a $40, $45 million contract. Last time I checked, the Astros are going to need a first baseman. The Astros are going to need a left fielder. There's a decent chance they're going to need a center fielder and a catcher as well. So are the Astros better in 2023 with Justin Verlander and 6 other starting pitchers? Or are they better with the 6 other starting pitchers, a really good left fielder and a really good first baseman?
I didn't know you became a fan of the Cleveland Guardians. because that's a Cleveland Guardians move. A Cleveland Guardians move would say, I'm going to let my best top of the rotation ace and type starters walk, or I'm going to get rid of them because I have the team control and the financial, and the financials mean something to me to do what I need to do. I hear what you're saying because we both agree there's a ton of talent on this roster, and that's why this team's going to be competitive for the next 3 to 5 years minimum. But with that being said, this team has higher aspirations than just being like the Cleveland Guardians and making the playoffs or possibly winning a division. Justin Verlander, in so many ways that we know of, is a different breed.
Jeremy, did you get into hard drugs in your time
off? Listen, no, I didn't. Just gentle Ben. Brendan suggesting that I was on drugs with the idea, because this was right after I took a 2-week hiatus for the birth of Branham baby. Like, I was right back at it, out of the gate, ready to go. Brendan thought I was on drugs for suggesting the idea that the Astros should move on from Justin Verlander.
Now, to be fair, he's thought that multiple other times without you coming off a 2-week hiatus.
And I don't blame him. But anyways, 2.5 months later, the conversation has flipped on its head. Now the conversation is that it's more popular, the idea of letting Verlander walk, versus back then when I was getting ridiculed, hated on, mocked. What in the world is this idiot talking about on the radio? Now, you did kind of come around a little bit on this idea. This is what you suggested, where you would have been okay if Justin Verlander left in free agency.
If they win it this year and they win it with Verlander, then I can start to think about your scenario.
So you win it, you're more likely to do it.
You're more likely to do it because now you've validated everything in the past.
See, I wasn't even
using...
You
stay relevant into the future.
I see your point,
but you don't have to spend all that extra cash to kind of give yourself that extra chance.
So there was your side of it, where if the Astros win it, fast forward 2 months, the Astros won it. So, like, we're in this spot where that we're basically recycling the conversation that we had 2.5 months ago. Everything is still the same from what we said. The Astros need to sign a first baseman. The Astros need to sign a left field DH bat. The Astros spent money on Rafael Montero, maybe because they had the foresight that they were not going to sign Justin Verlander, and we nailed the figure. Like, look at all the money going around, like money conversations. It was about 40, 45 Scherzer money, 2 or 3 years.
I mean, that's the thing. Until we saw it from McTaggart, it wasn't validated. But we had highlighted multiple times about the fact that from the record books and where they stand in history, they were former teammates, that Verlander kind of is in parallels with Scherzer in a lot of things already, and it's like a competition within the competition, and it just seemed like, hey, if he can get that, I'm more than worth that too, and it seemed like the natural number that he was going to be seeking, and now thanks to Jim Crane and Brian McTaggart, we find out that is exactly the number.
Yeah, you were on that, saying that he wants Scherzer money. He does want Scherzer money. We even said it, because I went back and listened to the 45 minutes that we were talking about this. It wasn't even so much about the AAV, but it's about the length of the contract. It's the fact that Justin Verlander is going to get somewhere between $40, $45 million per year for probably 3 seasons at the age of 40, at the age of 41, at the age of 42. The only thing that has changed in that conversation from then to now is the Astros now have won the World Series. They now have 2 titles as opposed to 1, which was to your point. Look, they get a 2nd title here. Maybe they play the long game. Maybe they're not as desperate for Justin Verlander because they've already validated their dynasty, their reign atop Major League Baseball. Because that, look, my opinion hasn't changed. Now, if Jim Crane says, you know what, I'm going to spin into the luxury tax, I don't care. We've won the World Series. I'm making tons of money. I have more money flowing in, and I'm going to be an owner that spins and go over the luxury tax. I'm going to sign a first baseman. I'm going to sign a left fielder, and I'm going to bring back Justin Verlander. Fine. But Justin Verlander cannot cost you the opportunity of signing those 2 bats because of the pitching staff you have beyond Justin Verlander. Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers, Jose Urquidy, Hunter Brown. That's 6 starters that you have confidence in, that you have faith in. And $40 to $45 million for a 40-year-old starting pitcher is too much. And I know he's the unanimous Cy Young, but he's also the unanimous Cy Young that's missed 2 of the last 3 seasons and isn't getting younger.
I'm curious, do you guys think the conversation's changed? Because I'm of the belief it has. I'm of the belief most people have come to the side that you let JV walk.
That's not the same thing from the conversation. That's the opinion. The opinion has changed drastically, because the opinion on September 6th was that I was out of my mind, ludicrous, and on drugs, where the conversation right now, November 17th, I think over half of the Astros fan base is saying, tip my cap, fair ado, a bit ado to Justin Verlander.
I thought so too, but sales guy Q pushed me on that before you guys got in this morning. He doesn't think that's the case. He said everyone he talks to still wants them to re-sign Verlander.
Well, Quentin, I would wonder who Q is talking to, because I don't believe that to be the case. 713-780-ESPN. Let's run a quick straw poll. Do you want Justin Verlander back at $40 to $45 million per year for the next 3 years? So you're looking at north of $120 million for three seasons. Do you want Verlander back on those terms? Yes or no? 713-780-3776.
Because here's the thing, guys. He says he wants to be the Tom Brady of Major League Baseball. But not everybody has the genetics and the makeup and the longevity to be able to be Tom Brady. And let's be honest, one guy has had it so far in the NFL, and George Blanda maybe, back in the day, who was a kicker slash quarterback and hung around for a while. You look at what he's trying to do, and the playoffs should give you every indication that, one, it shouldn't be anything more than a year-to-year with an option or maybe a two-year deal at best. And if he is truly looking for 3-130, the fact that he did as good as his regular season was, his playoffs was a massive disappointment, again, and he didn't look like he had nearly the stuff that he had even coming off of Tommy John. Is there indications that he's going to be a brand-new Verlander next year, or is that going to be a sign of things to come? I'm not going to be willing to risk $15 more million a year for 3 more years on a guy that already looks like there are signs that the end is near.
Look, and you're also, if you're getting $40 million, let's go the low end of that conversation. I just put out on Twitter, too, a poll. Astro fans, do you want Justin Verlander back at $120 million for 3 years, yes or no? You can go follow me at Jeremy Branham. I'm saying 120 at the low end, because conservative. I think the very low end, it's 120 for three, because that's $40 million for 3 years. I think that's low end, right? Like, it's more than likely going to be $45 million per, which is 135 for three.
Scherzer. And if Scherzer's at 43, he wants at least, it's like the Watson deal in the NFL.
Yep.
Quarterbacks want a little bit more than Deshaun made.
So I went low end 123 3 years. I think that is the low end of Justin Verlander's conversation. I also, part of that, like, if you're paying a pitcher for $40 million a year, you're paying him for the Cy Young that he just won, right? So you're also not factoring in the idea that a 40-year-old starting pitcher might regress back to the mean. And I know his mean's way higher than anybody else's, but his mean ain't $40 million. So that's where we're at. That's where we were back on September 6th, and I don't think things have changed a whole lot about that. But what do you think? Would you take Verlander back conservatively at $120 million for 3 years? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. We're also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Look, JV's the Cy Young. So we want to know, do you want him back on that conservative deal? Also, look, he's unanimous Cy Young as well. But how the votes might tell you that some other Houston Astro pitchers are severely underrated. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I think a conservative figure for Justin Verlander will be $120 million for 3 years, $40 million AAV, and our texters are trying to move the goalposts. This is part of the problem I have with free agency. Oh, I would do it on these terms. Okay, great. I would sign Justin Verlander for $1 million next year on my terms. It can't be just your terms. Like, people are saying, oh, well, I would do it for 2 years, not for three. I would throw player options, team options, vesting options into year two, year three. Uh-uh. That's not the question. The question is 123 years, yes or no, period, end of story. Would you do that, yes or no? I think we're on the same page with here on this one, Blankers, that it's not in the best interest long-term for the Houston Astros.
It just isn't. And the thing is, if you didn't have any options, if he had you over a barrel and you knew that you got there and won it for a large part because of what he was able to do for you, it might be a different story where you'd feel a little bit more desperation. And we all know that a lot of Astros fans feel loyalty to where they want to hang on, and they say, you need him. You need that ace, like we were talking about, that they didn't have when they lost because McCullers was out after the White Sox series. You don't have that problem. You just named them off earlier. We have six starters for next season, not named Justin Verlander, that are all fully capable of getting guys out on a consistent basis for the Houston Astros. Your bullpen is loaded. You don't have issues in your pitching staff, whether he's back or not. And if he's not willing to play Tom Brady with you and say, I'll take a little less so we can add a little bit more offensively, and you've already won with him multiple times, and you saw what we saw in the playoffs, there's no pressing issue other than the relationship with Jim Crane that says, I need this guy back.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for Joe. Joe, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Where do you stand on bringing JV back at 120 for three?
I don't bring him back for 3 years at $120 million. I'd make him an offer of 2 years at
And he says no. He says no, Joe. He's going to get easily 120 for three. He's going to say, I see that. I spit on it. I'm going to crumble that up and throw it away. 120 for three, yes or no?
No, not at his age. I mean, if he wants to win 300 games, he comes back with the Astros at a lesser amount.
Appreciate the call, Joe. And I think a lot of people in the text line are saying the same thing. I would do it for $27 to $33 million a year, but not 40. Cool. They ain't getting them.
Once the Dodgers lost a starting pitcher, Justin Verlander was on the radar for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And a Dodgers team that wins 100 games a year every year before they pee all over themselves in the playoffs is fully capable of signing Justin Verlander and getting him to 300 wins because playoff wins don't count.
Yeah, I mean, 120 for the Dodgers, 120 for the Mets who are about to lose DeGrom. There's always a dark horse or two. And look, the Astros are great. We think the Astros have had the best run in the last 6 years. The Dodgers win a lot of regular season games, too. Verlander going to L.A. is not much of a difference in terms of getting to 300 wins.
The Dodgers have won multiple regular season World Series titles. They just can't win in the playoffs.
They do have more regular season wins than the Astros.
Got that key?
713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRP listener line, kind of taking the pulse of the city where we are right now about JV. Let's get Sam in here. Sam, where do you stand? 120 for three minimum for Justin Verlander.
Hey, Killer Bees, love the show. First time caller.
What's up, Sam?
No, I don't think he needs to come back. We don't need to pay him.
Appreciate.
We have six starters sitting in line. No reason to pay him.
Appreciate the call, Sam. And I was telling you this on September 6th. You're going to need a first baseman. You're going to need a left fielder, DH. You have six other starting pitchers that are capable. So that's where we are now. Joe Sam is the Houston Astros sample on November 17th. Brendan telling us that sales guy Q, that the people that he hangs out with all want Justin Verlander back. I want to know who Q's hanging out with. Maybe it's Verlander. Maybe it's Kate Upton. Maybe it's the Cranes.
Maybe it's
their
neighbors because they like looking at Kate every day and they don't want him to leave town.
The poll I just put up there has 142 votes right now. 28% says yes. 72% says no. Just a quick little poll. We're going to run it throughout the duration of the show. Here is where we were whenever I brought up this idea on September 6th, that it is not in the best long-term interest of the Houston Astros, not even in the best interest immediately in 2023, to bring Justin Verlander back. Here is caller Quan on September 6th calling into our show about this topic.
Verlander is Tom Brady. Would you ask the question, would you trade to Tom Brady or would you let him go? The answer is no. The bottom line, age has nothing to do with it. This guy has sports medicine people. He's got trainers, kinesiologists to take care of his body. Those people have money to take care of their bodies. A body in motion stays in motion. You don't get hurt because of your age. You get hurt because you don't eat right, sleep right, or stretch. And so I don't think that's going to be a problem with Verlander because of his age.
Justin Verlander, by the way, has missed two of the last 3 years. Just, oh, by the way.
What he got paid for.
Yeah, absolutely he's going to get paid for it. But, oh, by the way, a body in motion stays in motion. Verlander's body wasn't in motion for two of the three seasons.
I'm curious where Blair is now.
Where,
Quan.
Who?
Quan.
Who's
sorry.
Who's Blair?
Blair's on hold.
That's, oh, we'll get to Blair in a second.
Names. No, Quan. Yeah. And I don't mean that, like, I've been wrong
plenty.
I thought
we were watching Facts of Life reruns or something like
no,
that.
No, we got a Blair.
Blair, Natalie, Tootie, who else?
But who the hell is Blair?
But I'm just curious, like, because he said he's Brady. You don't let Brady walk. Mm-hmm. The Patriots did let Brady walk.
They did. They let Brady walk.
You can't make that decision.
You know, we always go back to the Janet Jackson rule book of what have you done for me lately. What we saw after that show and what we've seen subsequently leading to the Astros winning the World Series and Justin Verlander changed everybody's mind in a heartbeat. It's the same people that were pay the man, pay the man, pay the man, pay the man. The minute they saw Jeremy Pena and then they saw that Correa wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire, it was like, oh my God, let him walk. Never should even talk to him. The guy's got to go.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing right now because so many people saw what we saw, which was a guy that didn't look like the same pitcher in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny how quickly opinions change. Because, like, listening to this 45 minutes on September 6th, people were ready to throw Jeremy Pena out of town, which is, like, not what we're talking about. But people were calling in, be like, oh, we got to move Pena. We got to get rid of Pena. Bring Correa back. And then, oh, wow, Pena's the ALCS MVP and the World Series MVP. So we just listened to caller Quan back on September 6th about bringing Verlander back. Here's caller Frank on September 6th about bringing Verlander back.
And the old adage is, good pitching beats good hitting any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Verlander was on the mound for some of the biggest games in 2017 when we won the World Series. Like you said, when we played the Braves in the World Series, we just didn't have that. He provides that.
There you go. So caller Frank, big games for Justin Verlander. How do we feel about big game Justin Verlander now?
Not so good. One big thing, game Justin Verlander would be watching while either Fromber or Christian Javier pitch.
He did watch when Christian Javier pitched because people that argue the Justin Verlander side of this exactly. People that argue the Justin Verlander side of this are like, well, Dusty went right back to him. Dusty used him every single time. No, he didn't.
Nope.
Dusty Baker did not use Justin Verlander in Game 4 when he was fully rested, like the Phillies used Nola when he was fully rested in Game 4, and the Astros chose to go with Christian Javier over Justin Verlander in that Game 4 with both pitchers rested.
We're not going to play 45 minutes, you know, from that show, but I also do want to say...
I would have loved to.
It is funny how many places Joel basically said, if things play out exactly how they did, then I'll agree with you, because... Another thing he talked about is if Verlander struggles in the playoffs, I may change my tune. He said that, and then he also talked about if they win it. Joel was basically like, Jeremy, I will be on your side if the season plays out exactly the way it did.
Exactly. Yeah, I really recommend you to go back and listen to our September 6th podcast. It starts about 13 minutes in. Just listen for the next 45 minutes. It's pretty entertaining, if I must say so myself.
I recommend people listen to the Killer Bees if they want to sound smarter.
Yeah, exactly. Our podcast number's through the roof, apparently. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line, but let's get Blair in here, the real Blair. This is November 17th, this is November 17th, no longer September 6th. Blair, what's up? You're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Love the show. So, first of all, I had agreed with you back then, Jeremy. My friends thought I was freaking crazy, and I just kept telling them, any GM worth their weight should be asking those type of questions. Is it worth this much money? How many other players can I get for this? Those are the type of thoughts that should be running through their mind all the time. But, this question, it's super easy to me. If Crane wants, you already said it once. If Crane wants to push past the luxury tax, you sign him, like no questions asked. If he wants to stay under it, you don't pay him. It's as simple as that. And it's unfortunate because, you know, we all love him, but it's just that simple in my mind.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Blair. I'm not paying a 40-year-old $40 million whenever you have a surplus of starting pitching and you're not desperate for it. You went to the World Series without him. He wasn't available in 2020. You went to the ALCS, and your pitching staff is better now than it was then. You have six more than capable starting pitchers. You have the best bullpen in all of baseball. You have two offensive holes that you need to fill. If Crane wants to go into the luxury tax and sign his buddy, but not at the expense of a left fielder and a first base, cool. I'm all for it. But it cannot be at the expense of two offensive starting bats.
Yeah, exactly right. Look, if this is a Crane buddy-buddy deal because he's still getting three aside on the golf course and doesn't want to lose his playing partner, then so be it, as long as he's willing to accept the consequences and not let the rest of the team suffer and get what else they need to fortify the rest of this roster. If he does that and brings his buddy back, well, then it's just more of a surplus of riches for the Astros and their fan base. But if he's not willing to do, you know, pay Peter to also pay Paul, then it doesn't make any sense if you're the Astros, because you have the insurance policies built in where you don't need him. It's a luxury if you get him back, but you don't have to have him back.
Yeah. The real quick, what Crane said to McTaggart in the story yesterday, where he talked to McTaggart and not Jeff Passan asterisk. He said that Verlander is seeking a deal similar to Scherzer, signed a 3-year, $130 million contract. That was Scherzer with the Mets a year ago. Crane said he hopes that the absence of a state income tax in Texas will give the Astros an edge. We'll see. My feeling on what's going on, like, what is your hunch? Do you think Verlander's back, yes or no?
I do not.
I don't think he's back either. My hunch of what's currently going on, though, because Verlander told MLB Network yesterday that he's not talked to Jim Crane since, like, right after the season ended. My sense is that Crane is treating it exactly like last offseason.
Go get yourself the best offer you can.
He told Verlander to go play the market. Come back with the best offer. We'll tell you if we're going to match it or not. Last year was the Blue Jays, $50 million 2 years. Same contract he signed with the Astros. That is my feel of what's going on. I don't think Crane eventually is going to sign Justin
Verlander. Let me say this. I think that the calling card that makes this more attractive to teams that are looking at him is the fact that we just signed the Cy Young Award winner, right? But I think Crane really believes in the back of his mind that teams, no matter how good JV was last year, teams saw the playoffs too, and he's really curious whether those big market teams are willing to throw that big of a money offer at Justin Verlander, and I think he's betting on the under.
Yeah, well, I mean, they say Verlander's seeking this.
Yes.
Seeking and getting two different things. Let's go out to the HRP listener line real quick, get Al in here. Al, you're in the Hive, but you got to hurry. We're up against it. What's up, Al?
Yeah, this is Al. Thanks for taking my call. I don't see any point in bringing Verlander back. Number one, the Astros are in the playoffs next year. Let's assume that. So look at Verlander's history in the playoffs. Why would you sign somebody who's that age to that kind of money?
Yeah.
My feeling is take that money and get Aaron Judge. Put him in center field.
You lost me there. Hang up on Al. That's enough from Al. We know your name's Al. You can be my bodyguard. All of that.
Hey,
but
by the way, that was Al, Jeremy.
I don't like the whole Judge thing. You lost me with the Judge thing. I'm out on Judge. I don't want to pay big money to dudes in their 30s, especially in their 40s. The Justin Verlander thing, like, he brings up a good point. If you're a team that's trying to get over the hump and into the playoffs, Verlander makes sense. If you're a team that knows you're going to be in the playoffs and then you have
if
Justin
you're a team
later,
that fell off from being a substantial big money spender playoff team like the Red Sox,
Dodgers,
once you get a great regular season like the Dodgers,
Cubs.
How do you make a splash?
Yep.
You go and bring in the reigning Cy Young Award winner, and then your fan base goes, oh, now they're back to playing. Now they're playing hardball. Now they're going to get some guys.
Keith Law covers Major League Baseball for The Athletic. Let's pick his brain about Justin Verlander at 120 minimum for 3 years. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I'll tell you about my bookie. You know sports. You know how to pick winners all the time. You're just not cashing in on it. Well, why don't you start cashing in right now and get paid at mybookie.ag? Mybookie.ag has the biggest online selection of odds and all the contests that you will desire for your sports betting needs. And like I always tell you, you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and it's truly amazing. You can even bet with anything. You can bet with Bitcoin. You can bet with your charge card. You put your money in, you get situated, and when they ask for a promo code, you put in BET975. When you do that, you are going to benefit because right now, you're going to get your first deposit matched up to 50%, up to $1,000. You put $1,000 in, you get an extra $500 in your account. More money in your account, more games you can bet on because of all the money you have and more chances to win. Again, the promo code BET975. You can bet on NFL, NCAA and college football, pro football, college basketball now starting in full swing, NBA basketball. There is tons to bet on. They also have the money bag, the MyBookie money bag, a one-of-a-kind opportunity to spin for crazy odds on prop bets and future bets. Place your bet, spin the wheel, and get ready to score epic odds on the best teams, athletes, and events. And if you win, you could win big. Promo code BET975. Do it right now. MyBookie.ag. Not just a sports book, it's a community. As I always say, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line. Always thrilled to have Keith Law on with us. Covers Major League Baseball for The Athletic. First time we've had you, Keith, since the Astros have won the World Series. Lots of going on with the Houston Astros in that span, on the field, off the field. We were having the conversation, Keith, with our listeners just a moment ago. It looks like Justin Verlander wants similar to a Max Scherzer contract. We said on the conservative end, the most conservative end, that maybe Justin Verlander can be had for $120 million for 3 years. If you're Jim Crane or whoever's acting as the Astros general manager, do you bring Verlander back on that contract knowing what you have with the rest of the staff?
No. No, as good as Verlander was, I didn't like the Scherzer contract. I thought it was very unrealistic of the Mets to expect Scherzer to stay healthy and effective given his age, given his history of high workloads. I think the same is true for Verlander. It's not really a knock on Verlander specifically. He won the Cy Young Award and he deserved it. And we're talking about a guy at the end of a Hall of Fame career. But we're also talking about somebody who's 39 in this upcoming season. And who has already had Tommy John recently and who generally handles pretty high workloads, I would be much more comfortable paying him a higher annual salary on a 1 or 2 year deal. And I've said in a couple of places too, Verlander's real goal is to try to get as close to 300 wins as possible. He might be amenable to something like that, to say, I'm just going to go play 1 year here, 1 year there, figure out what's the team with the best shot to get me another 18 to 20 wins this season and just bounce around for a few years to try to get to that goal. Because I think it's unlikely, but it's not completely out of the question, he would get to 300 wins. And then there's a very good chance he's the last guy we ever see do that.
Keith, I'm curious your thoughts on just the parallels between the NFL when the Browns went and made the Deshaun Watson deal, raising the bar to just an astronomical level, and then every subsequent quarterback going, I want that too. It seems like that's what happened with the Mets as it relates to Scherzer, and now with DeGrom on the market, Verlander on the market. It seems like they're doing it too. Like, if Max Scherzer's worth that, I'm as good as Max Scherzer. That's what I need the negotiations to start at. Do you think that's going to be the case?
Well, I think that's how it works, right? And that is, it's been on the front office. That's been a while, but I don't think this has changed. That guy got that deal, and I'm at least as good as that guy, so I should get the same deal or more. That's pretty much how the negotiations work, and it's why the union has always tried to push, going back 30 years, they've always tried to push the upper end of the envelope in free agency. Recognize that when the top salaries go up, it pulls up other salaries behind them. Every once in a while, you get a fluke deal, and everyone says, well, that's ridiculous. We're not doing that again. But by and large, high-end free agent contracts, future high-end free agent contracts. And I'm sure that Verlander is trying to ask for a similar contract. I am sure that, you know, DeGrom is looking at that and saying, well, I'm better than that guy. I should. It doesn't mean the market will give it to them. It's what they're asking for. But the problem with these high-end free agent contracts is the number of teams that have the payroll, budget, willingness to do those deals, especially for free agent starters, is always pretty limited. There are not a lot of teams willing to give $30-plus million to free agent starters, even if they acknowledge that these guys are worth that much money, because if you sign a free agent starter for $30-plus million a year and he gets hurt, because all pitchers get hurt, even Verlander, who seemed indestructible, it really messes with your payroll, with your flexibility for multiple seasons in the future.
Well, with that being said, Keith, do you see the same thing happening with Aaron Judge? Because with him as an everyday player, it looks like he's going to raise the bar from an everyday player perspective, too, and get astronomical numbers that everybody's going to be pointing at.
I'd be surprised if he ends up anywhere but the Yankees or maybe the Giants. There are, again, same thing. Very few teams, I think, are willing and able to get in on that at that level. And he's got huge risk associated with him because of his age and because of his size. I mean, if he's looking for an 8 to 10 year deal, I'd be shocked if anybody gave it to him. It may be a situation where the market says to him, look, we'll give you 6 years at MVP money, and the only team willing to maybe give him that one extra year is the Yankees, because they know him, because he was already there, and because obviously they're the Yankees. They have more payroll flexibility than any other team. But I think if any free agent position player on this market ends up pushing the upper bound, it might be Correa, who I ranked as the top free agent anyway, because he's 3 years younger than Judge and way more likely to age well and continue to produce at a high level over the course of, say, a 7 to 10 year deal.
Keith Law joining us on the HR&P guest line, covers Major League Baseball for The Athletic. Keith, I'm curious your opinion of how the Astros have handled their front office since the end of the World Series. Crane offering Click a 1 year deal. Click was offended by it. Crane, I think, thought Click might have ran his mouth a little bit. The GM meetings in Las Vegas. What's your sense of what's going on in the front office for the Houston Astros?
If you have this many clowns, it's a circus, right? That is, Jim Crane is running a circus. He had one of the most successful, respected GMs in the game, who helped restore respectability to the franchise, who helped rebuild the franchise. They weathered the loss of one of their best players in Correa to free agency. They improved, frankly, at player development over Click's reign, because, you know, Jeff Lunau, not to take anything away from his success, but a lot of his success was just driven by the fact that they had a ton of high draft picks. And that was not the case with Click. He had to do, frankly, to do a lot with less, and he did so. And I think that for Jim Crane to act like James Click was kind of disposable, just because he maybe disagreed with some other people, because he dares disagree with Jim Crane. To me, if I were an Astros fan, I'd be pretty furious at this point. Obviously, Jim Crane has overseen a lot of good things for that Astros front office, but nobody wants George Steinbrenner as the owner. Yankees won a lot of games with George Steinbrenner there. They won a couple of World Series with George Steinbrenner as the primary owner. I think 1-2-6 while he was still alive. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you want an owner who is meddling like this and who thinks he knows better than his baseball people, because it doesn't speak well for who Crane's going to hire next as his GM and for his willingness to give them the kind of autonomy they're likely to demand in their over the course of whatever their tenure should be as GM. And they're always going to be looking over their shoulders where they're going to get fired just because they dare disagree, maybe with Jim Crane or maybe with Reggie Jackson, who, according to that Jeff Patton article at ESPN, was coming in and yelling at coaches, yelling at other front office people. Reggie Jackson should be gone from the organization immediately. But instead, Crane favors Jackson over his highly respected GM, who oversaw, like I said, the rebuilding of this organization. It's unbelievable. I mean, I guess it's not unbelievable because it's Jim Crane, but I just cannot get over that somebody who made this much money in private business could make such a just a hilariously bad decision for the baseball organization.
I think I know where you're leaning with this, Keith, but I got to ask this then, because I thought that players and agents, no matter what they read in these articles, were going to line up with Click out of the equation to try and see if they could get extra money out of an owner trying to be a general manager. What are your thoughts on the Montero deal, and did you think that he got paid a little too much?
It's a terrible deal. It's just hilariously bad, right? This is what happens when you get away from the smart baseball people you hire to run your organization. Rafael Montero had an amazing year. He had one amazing year. And the history of free agent relievers on long-term deals is terrible. I've written quite a bit about free agent relievers on 4- and 5-year deals because it's a smaller number. Those tend to be given to some of the best relievers available in free agency, but the history of those is pretty awful. And the same principle applies to 3-year deals. We just can't predict reliever performance and health over more than about 1 or 2 years into the future. The odds of Montero being, even giving the Astros 2 good years out of those 3, are maybe 50-50, maybe a little. I'd probably actually go a little bit less than that, given his age and given his history. And to guarantee him that kind of money, when you have other things you have to do, but it's not like they have no other needs at this point, just, again, speaks to hubris on the part of ownership, not understanding the things that I think most front offices have come to understand at this point, and not listening to the smarter baseball people who he hired and paid to build the organization for him.
Keith, we always appreciate you coming on with the Killer Bees. Always enjoy your insight. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Yep, my pleasure.
It's Keith Law, covers Major League Baseball for The Athletic. Are the Astros running a circus? Are you furious with Jim Crane? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I mean, if you have this many clowns, it's a circus, right? That is, Jim Crane is running a circus.
Is Jim Crane running a circus? 713-780-ESPN.
Oh,
who are the clowns? 713-780-3776.
If he's running a circus, Jeremy, you know what kind most people go to? A 3-ring circus. They got 2. Maybe they get 1 more.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I was wondering where you were going
there. Then
what
kind of circus would we have? A 3-ring circus.
Would you sign up for a 3-ring circus? 713-780-3776. Law said that if he was an Astros fan, that he would be furious with Houston Astro owner Jim Crane. And I've seen some of the fair feedback and the fair pushback. Is he Jerry Jones? I related him to George Steinbrenner. Keith Law related him to George Steinbrenner and says that's not what you want as an owner. Look, I don't like giving Yankees their flowers and things like that. We know that. The Yankees are the last great dynasty in Major League Baseball under the direction of George Steinbrenner. If Jim Crane is George Steinbrenner, the city of Houston is lucky.
I think there's not a – you go pull Yankees fans for back in the late 70s all the way through and see if they wanted a different owner or thought that Steinbrenner was their kind of guy. They loved him. He was aggressive. He spent money. He wanted to win. He wanted to win at all costs. He wasn't afraid to make the big move. And I think most Yankee fans said, yeah, sure, he's a little egotistical. Yeah, we know what he is and sometimes how he can be. But guess what? If he's all about winning and he's aggressive, we love that dude.
Here's the – Like, because I think that some of the concerns are fair. You brought the Montero contract, which is an overpay. That could potentially be a problem if it prevents the Astros from doing other things. And look, he ended up spending more money, but it's his money. If it doesn't prevent him from doing anything else to help the organization, I don't really care. If he does, look, I don't want him to sign Justin Verlander to $120 million for 3 years, but if he signs Verlander to that because he loves the guy but still signs a left fielder and a first baseman, awesome. That's very George Steinbrenner-esque, and the Astros are dominant in 2023. We kind of talked about this the other day when it came to the James Click, Jim Crane dynamic when Jeff Passan asterisk talked about it. And peeling back the curtain a little bit, we had our little like social media post about it, which grabbed our like 60 seconds talking about how the Passan's going to protect the industry. James Click is more of the industry than Jim Crane is. And Josh Innes, who used to work at the station, he had some things to say about that. He called us fanboys, to be honest with you. He basically said that, do you not believe anything in the article could be true? Yes, things in the article probably are true. I believe them to be true. I believe that he's in, like, given some sort of power to Jeff Bagwell. I don't believe the power is great. Maybe he has like a, you know, an ear to Jim Crane or things like that. I believe Reggie Jackson screamed at somebody, but people scream at colleagues all the time. Doesn't make it right, but it's like what happens in sports. Jim Crane also did not. He turned down the interview request from Passan. Where is all the information that Passan is getting coming from? It's not Crane. It's not Bagwell. It's not Reggie Jackson. It's not anybody that Jim Crane trusts that's currently in that organization. It's coming from either James Click or James Click people, right?
For his article, he's probably getting it right from the source.
And it could, like, all the things that Passan listed, I believe probably are accurate. But there is also a lean. There is also a slant. Like, one dude saying that he's operating like Jerry Jones, okay, what if Jeff Bagwell thinks he's operating like George Steinbrenner, and he's going to go out and win 6 championships and have this dynasty? It also said in the past an article and got a quote from somebody that Crane, yeah, is demanding, but he gives us the resources to have success. That's like what you want from an owner, is that you want him to want to win. You want him to give away resources to try in an effort to go out and win.
The other thing, too, is when you're getting into a new situation like Jim Crane did by getting into professional sports, by getting into Major League Baseball for the very first time, you're going to look for some kind of confidants, some kind of guys that you can at least get an ear from and a voice from and an opinion from when you're trying to figure out the lay of the land. Les Alexander did it with Clyde Drexler all the time when he took over the Rockets. Could he have done better? Maybe. But could he have done a lot worse? Absolutely. Because if he just turned to someone on the business side that didn't have the experiences of being in the trenches, in the locker rooms, around coaching staffs and personnel, it would be a lot more difficult to get that opinion to have a lot of weight to it. If you're looking at Reggie Jackson from his era, mm-hmm. one of the best to ever play, and Jeff Bagwell in the era that he played, one of the better first basemen to ever play, and getting their opinions, you don't have to go with them all the time. But you could do a lot worse than getting baseball opinions from true baseball greats that are around your organization.
Yeah. And look, again, I'm not saying that what was written in the article isn't true. I believe that it probably is true, but it does have a slant. And I don't even think that the worst things that were talked about in that article are really that big of a deal. He wants to win. He's demanding. Cool. I want a winner. I want an owner that cares. As far as Keith Law goes, and I respect Keith Law's opinion. I think that he's very good at what he does. He covers the Major League Baseball draft really well. He's more of a saber metrics guy. He's more of an analytical guy. Keith Law currently works for The Athletic, is a former writer of Baseball Prospectus. James Click got his start in baseball after going to the Ivy Leagues of Harvard writing for Baseball Prospectus. Keith Law and James Click are former colleagues. This is what I was talking about the other day. James Click is an industry baby. They love him because he literally came up from writing articles about baseball from Baseball Perspective. Went to Tampa Bay, which Tampa Bay is like this, you know, we believe we're going to have this stock market type of view of player personnel. We're going to have high turnover. And I've read the book about Tampa Bay, which I think Keith Law might have helped it. It's called The Extra 2%. It talks about, you know, how they went from the laughing stock to being very, very good. But long story short, Keith Law, other writers in baseball, either know James Click, worked with James Click, or are going to do whatever they can to protect James Click. If a friend got embarrassed, you're going to talk bad about the guy that embarrassed said friend.
I've seen it happen so many times. You look for opportunities to come to the defense of the people that you care about the most if they can't do it for themselves. I've seen it. I've had it happen personally. I know that when you've got true people behind you, and in this case, if Keith sees an opportunity to go into the market where one of his good buddies just got let go and be able to spray a few bullets to be able to stand up for the guy that he knows, you know, as we discuss it on the show, he's going to do it. And that's fine because I think that he brings a lot of valid points to the table no matter what he says. But I think he's obviously going to get the ire of a lot of Astros fans that said, hey, wait a minute, time out. Like, I get that you think that Click as an analytical guy is a very smart baseball mind. There's no doubt we've both said he's going to get another job in baseball probably rather quickly.
Sure.
But the other thing that Keith didn't factor in any of the answers that he gave that we've been talking about is sometimes it's just a personality conflict. Sometimes there's a breakdown in communication and two guys are just not right to work with one another. They might both be successful in their own ways. Jim running his baseball team and James being a general manager where he's analytically driven and has the power and the authority and the ability to hire managers and make decisions and do things without having to constantly go through different tiers of signing off on things. Both things can be true. They can be good as individuals. They cannot be good as a team. They still won a World Series and now they go their own separate ways.
The thing too is like, I understand the other side of the argument. Like, he's a meddling owner. Meddling owners over the course of sports history at times have had a negative influence on the franchise going forward. Look, if he's George Steinbrenner, I think it's great because George Steinbrenner had a Yankee dynasty. If he's Jerry Jones, I can understand why that is a negative. Totally understand it. My feeling, and it's an opinion, is that he's more Steinbrenner than Jones, and he doesn't want to be the general manager like Jerry Jones wants to. And I think he pretty much illustrated that in the McTaggart article, saying that we're going to be very patient about this and hire somebody that we really like and that we don't feel rushed like we did last time with James Click. Maybe I'm naive there. Who knows? Only time will tell. My pushback to that whole narrative, like, oh, this, you should be furious about this. You should hate this. You should be, you know, really hot and bothered over it. Do you think the Astros are going to be good next year? Do you think the Astros are going to be good the year after that? Do you think the Astros will continue to have a sustained level of goodness? The Astros aren't going anywhere, and Jim Crane's not going to ruin it because he's going to have a GM in place in 3 months.
No, absolutely, and I think that that's the thing. Do you want Drayton McClain running this team right now? Because Drayton McClain wouldn't be willing to spend anything in free agency this year, no matter what they did or didn't do, and he certainly wouldn't offer Justin Verlander big money, and he would be more like he'd be more apt to run his team like Tampa Bay and like Oakland and like teams that are counting every penny and basically watching every guy's contract to know when it's coming up, unload them because we're not going to pay him. We need to get some more young players for him and start the rebuild over and over and over again. Instead, you're starting the winning process every single year over and over again because you've got an owner that's aggressive. You got an owner that's not afraid to take big swings. And he's also smart enough to know he's going to get guys in that do what he doesn't do well, which is crunch the numbers on a daily basis. But he's going to get a guy that works better with him on a daily basis, too, that can communicate and they can work through things and they're not going to take things personally. It seems like Click was just not the right guy from a personality and communication standpoint for Crane.
It's the greatest owner from a resume point of view in Houston sports history. Two World Series titles, 4 World Series appearances, 6 straight ALCSs, golden era of Astro baseball is a dynasty. And you should be furious with the owner. I think 4965 brings up a great point. It is a little curious that no one inside the organization is complaining about Crane, just people outside, maybe because he whipped their butt. Lance McCullers said Jim Crane's the best owner in all of baseball during this playoff run. Justin Verlander loves the dude so much that he's willing to give him his best offer and be like, will you match this? And has called his desire for Crane, you know, very, very high. Has a lot of respect for him. I think it's a great point. People are talking about Hinch coming back to work for him. We must not hate Jim Crane. He must not think he's all that demanding. If you call Jeff Luhnow right now, he'd come back to work for Jim Crane as well. But he's talking about bringing back Stearns, bringing back Sig Meidel, people that have left that are willing to come back. Where is all this hate for Jim Crane coming from? I think it's one source specifically.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that the fact that, you know, I dealt with this a lot of times with Les Alexander when he first bought the Rockets, too, was the fact that he didn't know what he didn't know. And so he got people that did. Because he had the reputation, much like Jim Crane does in the article that you just read out of Sports Illustrated and Jeff Passan, that he was a guy that made a lot of money with quick, you know, junk bonds and quick buys and quick sells and no human compassion, everything like that. Well, when we first started, we were all hired and we realized we suddenly got the reputation of a revolving door because if one person made one mistake, much like buying and selling bonds, he just said, fire him, get rid of him, fire him. And then no one wanted to come here. But then he hired people to become the buffer between him and the business side, and we were able to kind of lay the foundation for, hey, it's a great place to work. The guy wants to win. He's going to give back to the community, and he's going to take care of you as long as you do your job, and we'll be the guy, the people that protect you from the, he's just going to fire everybody the first mistake you made, and then you found the happy medium. He'll eventually get a general manager that's going to be that middleman for a lot of things. He's going to work out his stuff with the right people in the front office. But until then, he's not going to be Drayton McClain in terms of sitting on his purse strings and not opening up his checkbook and not being willing to do what's necessary to make this team even better next year so they can compete for another World Series.
So weird. Be a good owner until you are a good owner and people don't like it. 713-780-3776. Let's check in basketball. A couple of basketball teams in this city got victories yesterday. Great to see the third-ranked Cougs with another win. Was it good that the Rockets won, though? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.